Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, here's a question for you. I think I might know the answer. Do you ever wish there was a reset button for your body, your mind, and your spirit? Do you ever wish you could just push a button and reset, get your spirit back on track, where maybe you're lacking peace and you feel kind of toxic in your soul? Or maybe your body feels bogged down from just a lifetime of bad eating, or you're hurting because you've got an injury. Do you wish you could push a reset button? Well, my guest today is Laura Harris-Smith, and she's a wellness expert, a certified nutritional counselor, and she herself walked through a significant bout of adrenal fatigue. We're going to explore her book, The 30-Day Faith Detox. We're going to answer some of your health questions and learn how you actually can renew your mind, cleanse your body, and heal your spirit. This book is really profound. We've got three copies of this book to get in, or four, I should say, to get into your hands. So at any time, if you want in on the drawing, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Couple quick announcements first. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm telling you, we've, in the last several years in a row, we've put on something, it's called a writer's contest, okay, because we've received so many inquiries about how to get published. So we did a writer's contest here at Faith Radio. Each year we've had such an amazing response that we behind the scenes prayed and dreamed and hoped one day we could actually do a conference. Well, we are going big or going home. Let me tell you, we're putting on a huge conference this summer for one day only, July 15th, Saturday, July 15th. We're bringing in all A-list faculty, editors, agents, and experts in the field. Got Liz Curtis Higgs as our keynote. We're going to have amazing worship on the beautiful campus of University Northwestern St. Paul. We're talking about it now. Why? Because the first 350 of you to sign up will get be guaranteed a face-to-face appointment with a faculty member. You can get on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com, to look at the faculty, prayerfully consider who you'd want to do a face-to-face with. I will tell you that we're getting a pretty big response, and appointments are filling up. So if you've got a dream to write, or if even if you're wondering if you should write, it's just something that's been there, don't let fear stand in your way. I will tell you, in the past, I've spent up to $1,500 to get myself to a writer's conference because other published authors said that's the next right step if you have a dream. This conference, guess how much it is? $150. $150. It's going to be amazing. We've made it very affordable. There are awards that we'll be giving to some of you. I'm telling you, get on the website, spend some time there. And just so you know, we're still doing our writer's contest, and that will kick off here in a few weeks. And I think the top 5 or 10 of those who win the contest will get scholarships to the conference. So we've made this possible for you. If you've got a dream, we've created a runway. You want more information? Get on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Laura Harris-Smith founded Eastgate Creative Christian Fellowship with her husband, Pastor Chris Smith, and she's the director for the Eastgate Creative Arts Conservatory, where, among other things, she mentors young writers all over the world on her online creative writing classes. We're going to have to get her in here next year. An actress, playwright, poet, and media dynamo, she was a TV host on the Shop at Home Network and is the author of multiple books. With one foot in ministry and one in media, Laura and her husband have 6 children and reside near Nashville, Tennessee, and we love her. Laura, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Doesn't our writer's conference sound amazing?
It does. I was just listening about it and thinking, oh my goodness, why didn't I think of this?
Yeah. Well,
great idea.
Wow, we're so excited about it. Well, you know the drill, Laura. You've been on the show before. We love to start our conversations talking scripture. Wondering if you've got a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days.
Yes, I do. It's really become my branding, I suppose. Stumbled into it, but confirmed by you know, my publishing company, and I just see the Lord doing it and putting a passion in me to communicate it to others, and that is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, of course, we know that word soul is, it's psyche. It's the word for our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so basically what this tells us is that our spirit, our mind, and our body, you know, it has to be kept blameless. And in other words, there are things that we can do and be blamed for if something goes wrong in one of them. And so, yeah, I get really excited. And I've been a Christian for over 40 years and have read this verse how many times? I don't know. And yet just this last year, it's really come alive in me that I have a responsibility. We actually could stand before the Lord and him say, okay, well, you've not been blameless in these areas. And it's not that he is, it's not that we are, you know, trying to get there by works. It's that I hate it when I see friends of mine, minister friends of mine, who their lives are cut short, their ministries were cut short because they did not take care of themselves bodily. Or transversely, a friend of mine, a particular friend of mine who they did not take care of themselves spiritually. They went to the gym, they worked out, they went to therapy, they got their emotions all in check, but they were spiritually a wreck. And so, you know, they're just treating one third of themselves or two thirds of themselves. And that's why you have a lot of people walking around this earth who are just not whole. So that's really, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 has become my mantra, if I can say it that way, my anthem, is if you want to be whole, you have to be kept blameless in your body, mind, and spirit.
Well, you know, Scripture does talk about that. What we sow is what we grow. God won't be mocked. I mean, there is just a ripple effect to our choices. And just to be clear, this isn't about his level of love for us, or it's not about our salvation. But
exactly.
I would say it does speak to our influence and our credibility and our sustainability. Mm-hmm. One thing we do try to do often on Live the Promise is just engage in the idea of what is our part, what's God's part. And we have some personal responsibility. And you sure see it ripple out if we're willing to abdicate that responsibility. Let's go back to your story of when you got deathly sick, that really ultimately that sickness and what God taught you through it changed the trajectory of your life.
Right. Well, talking about this with past tense verbs is so refreshing because it was difficult walking through. But basically, I am a high energy, living in fifth gear gal. And I always have been. That's nothing new, even though as I walked through life, I picked up, you know, new things at a time. Sometimes laid something down, sometimes could not. You know, when God puts child number 4 and 5 and 6 in your arms, there's just grace more than there was for the first three. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that with every ministry activity we added or any book that I wrote, any project that came down the pipeline, if the Lord gave the green line for it, I knew that there would be grace to accomplish it. So first I want to say that I was not spending my time on activities I should not be accomplishing. What I was doing wrong, however, and where I was being blamed and should have been, was that I wasn't sleeping enough. I have always had the gift of just being able to lay down and sleep 8 hours. I don't wake up in the middle of the night. I am a great sleeper. It's not that I can't go to sleep. It's that I wouldn't go to sleep. I wouldn't go to bed. I love work. I love what I do. Every single one of the many hats that I wear, I love all of them. And so I just worked, and would sometimes work 20-hour days. Working from home, you know this, Susie, being a writer, you can often not have the boundaries that you need to. I heard that word all the time, and I used to think, I don't really feel like I need boundaries because I know, let's say if it's even in the middle of the day at 2 o'clock when most people are working, if I need a break, I go take a break. I grab one of my teenagers and we watch a funny movie in the middle of the day. And, you know, so I don't want to make it sound like I was like, you know, constantly nose to the grind for 20 hours, but I was definitely awake for 20 hours, just toggling between different activities, and it just caught up with me. And so basically what began to happen was my blood work started coming back a little wonky, started feeling strange, went to the doctor for a checkup. And I mean, I had always been just, you know, the picture of health still looked like it on the outside. I was still, about 115 pounds, 5'2", you know, I wasn't overweight. But all of a sudden, after a lifetime of having normal blood sugar, in fact, really, really hypoglycemic, it was on the low side. I was pre-diabetic, and I had cholesterol that was suddenly higher than the 200 mark, and I had my thyroid, which had really slowed down, and my metabolism was slowing down with it. My reproductive system shut down entirely, you know what that means. And so here in my early 40s, my body was going through the change, and I was floored. I couldn't understand and put it all together. I still wasn't putting it all together. And so at the time, I was contracted to write a book called Seeing the Voice of God for Chosen Books. And, you know, fortuitously, the Lord, he had put it on my heart to interview sleep study doctors for this book on dreams and visions. I thought, I'm going to bring the medical aspect into it, the bodily aspect, which is about the time they told me that my branding is body, mind, and spirit, because I like to bring the body into everything and let's try to approach it, make them move from, you know, mystical to practical. And so I had done that, and the Lord had given me the idea. And I had, Susie, I was sitting there interviewing the sleep study doctor for the book, okay, all my body system shutting down. And he's looking at me and saying, now, if you don't sleep well enough, or if you don't sleep enough, your body systems will start shutting down first with your hormones and all of those systems. And I'm like making notes and not even making the connection between what's going on in my body and him. But the Lord was really sneaky to make me, it took work to make me study sleep, because it was work that was keeping me from sleeping. And so once I finally just, I had this one last test done, and it was actually, to be honest, it was, The world would call it accidental, but I know it was providential. They decided to do a cortisol and adrenaline test on me. This was a saliva test. This was a doctor at a compounding pharmacy, and she did the test, and it came back, and it said that I was in stage 3 adrenal fatigue or adrenal exhaustion. It's basically, you know, it's stage 4 is when your organs have shut down. And mine was, I was in stage 3. So I was on the brink of adrenal failure, and did not know it, and was walking around, and my organs were just, you know, if you don't go to sleep, they'll go to sleep for you. So basically that's what happened. And here I was with a book to write. I was told make changes or die. So I went to, you know, I went on bed rest and wrote the book, just fighting for my life. I mean, our church where we pastor in Eastgate in Nashville, they fed us. They'd bring the food. My kids would set it out and bring it to me in bed. And they, you know, the church came and cleaned our house. I mean, they just took care of me.
Did you feel horrible?
Tips, as I say.
So sorry, Laura. Did you feel horrid at that time? Did you feel as bad as your system was telling you were sick? Do you know what I mean?
I did not feel like I would. I have to be careful when I say this, because a typical person would and should. I inherited from my parents this strong constitution that I often just, I just don't notice things. My father, when I was growing up, my father used to say, now, baby, if you are going to be sick anyway, you might as well go to work and get paid for being sick. You know, so I grew up and they both grew up on working farms and have this incredible work ethic. And it was passed along to my brother and my sister and myself. And there was nothing wrong with that at all. But it was the combination of me working at home and, you know, farmers, the sun went down, you had to come in, you know.
Yeah.
I could stay up all night. So it just, the combination of it and the strong constitution had me just pushing through. And it was only when I'd get like on a treadmill, or maybe during that third worship song in church, you know, when I'm jumping and clapping my hands, yes, then I'd start to feel a little fatigued.
Okay, we're going to pause here. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith, title of her book, The 30-Day Faith Detox, Renew Your Mind, Cleanse Your Body, Heal Your Spirit. We're going to talk about what rebuilt Laura, what helped her recover, and just diet things, emotional toxins, all these kinds of things, so we can experience the kind of reset God has for us. If you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Back in a minute. love that song, and I chose that just so you know that wherever you're at in your health, emotional, spiritual journey, God's grace is enough for you. As I want to just say this, that you belong to Him, and His love for you is not up for grabs. What we're talking about today, though, is resetting emotionally, physically, spiritually, because there are consequences to what we allow into our lives, the things we put into our mouths, the things that come out of our mouths. And so Laura Harris Smith's book, The 30-Day Faith Detox, so fascinating because she's got something for you to eat each day, and then she addresses a spiritual component, an emotional component of your life. But we're kind of getting into Laura's backstory. So prior to the break, you talked about the stage 3 adrenal fatigue, which is, as most of you know, this is, was part of what some of my health issues were as well, coming out of stage 3 adrenal fatigue. How long did you go to bed for, and what other disciplines did you have to incorporate that made a major difference in your recovery?
Well, I would love to tell you that when I was told to go to bed that I immediately went to bed, but what happened was I basically went to the sofa. And there's a little shift there that, if you don't totally get horizontal, if you're someone with my personality, if you don't get horizontal and if you don't go to another room, you're going to be in the middle of traffic and you're going to want to get up and do things. Mm. My children, first of all, had to literally come to me with a laminated sheet and say, we have divided up all the chores. Your kitchen is now our kitchen. Like they had to say, Mom, it's not your kitchen anymore. And they divided up the days and everybody, you know, the dishes and all of that. And then once I got better, I went to them and said, hey, you know, I'm good. I can take this back. And they said, nope. And so for the last 3 or 4 years, I haven't done kitchen duty.
My goodness.
I mean, I cook, but yeah, my kids just really stepped up. So first you went to the sofa, and then, basically what happened was I was sitting there one day talking with my new daughter-in-law, and I was told that I had to rest, and my nutritionist, in fact, told me, your body can't take one trauma. Like, you cannot, you need to even get stressful people out of your life. I said, I'm in ministry. She said, oh, Lord Jesus, help you. Like, how are you going to do that? And I didn't know it, but when your body is stressed or your mind is stressed, your adrenal glands, even if it's just you're listening to somebody else's story or you're in a counseling situation with a couple and they're fighting in front of you, your adrenal glands don't know if it's your stress or their stress. If you're watching a horror movie or an action movie, your adrenal glands don't care if it's them jumping off the cliff or you jumping off the cliff. Like, you, it literally excites them to the point to where it can be very draining. And especially in ministry, when you're constantly, pastorally I'm talking about, you're constantly feeling those stressors from people and guiding them and getting frustrated with them, you know, then it's going to be even more taxing. So here I was told to, you know, rid my life from that as much as possible. I delegated as much as I could. But she said, your body can't take one more trauma. Well, there I was on the couch, and one day I was talking to my daughter-in-law, and by some freak accident, I was sitting on the back of the couch, and I fell off and directly onto a glass wrought iron coffee table, and it broke my rib and punctured my lung, and my lungs started to collapse. And so they had to rush me to the emergency. Well, they didn't rush me. I was laying there on the ground, and I was like, you know, I'm going to be okay. And then I realized I was able to breathe less and less and less. So eventually they took me to the ER, and it was when the doctor got in my face and said, I won't do the lung surgery if you will promise me you will go home and rest. And now it was like God might as well have just hired a plane, you know, a skywriting plane to say to me, Laura, are you going to get horizontal, go back to your bedroom, get in the bed and rest and heal and live? And so I knew then, as ashamed as I am to admit it, but it's the reason that I can say we can be blamed, body, mind, or spirit, because I had a lot to be blamed for. I then moved into full-fledged recovery mode. I stayed there for, well, let me just say this, because I have to give God glory for this. I got that x-ray, and 3 days later, and I could not even get out of the bed without it taking about 15 minutes and two people helping me. That's how much pain I was in with my rib. And And I just, my family had gone to church without me. That was excruciating for me. I think I'd missed church once in 10 years, and I was just really frustrated at that thought of missing out being with my church family. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is not what you promised me. I know that you are my healer, and I'm writing this book, and I know you can heal me, and I want to remind you that I would tell this to everyone. You would do it. Just do a miracle on my behalf. And I went into my closet, got up out of the bed somehow by myself, made my way into the closet, and it took me forever, but I needed to go low. I got felt down the, you know, helped myself down the wall and got down on my knees, and I just told the Lord, you know, again, that I needed healing and that I would be his voice as a healer, if he would just heal me. And no bells and whistles went off. I didn't feel anything. There wasn't anything, you know, I'd felt his presence before, but not this time. I mean, there was literally nothing. And I stood up and I walked back through my walk-in closet into my bathroom and thought, I think I'll take a bath. And so I leaned over to turn on the faucet, and I went, wait a minute, did I just lean over and turn on the faucet? And I twisted around. I was like, oh my goodness. I looked in the mirror and I twisted side to side, and you should see my eyes. I can still see my eyes looking at myself. I reached out and touched my toes. I jumped up and down. I went running into the den, and I said, Chris, God has healed me. He's like, Ma, stop. And so it was confirmed by an x-ray about 36 hours later. Wow. The rib was no longer broken. The lung was reinflated. And the doctor said to me, Laura, your pneumothorax, which is what they're calling it, is healed. And so it's interesting to me, though, Susie, the Lord left. I still had the bruises. I had the ligaments, which were stretched and in pain, and I still had to go to bed and rest. He left all of that, and it took about, I'd say I was in bed for probably 10 weeks, 10 to 12 weeks, of course, because I had the other order on top of it for the adrenal fatigue. So I'm just telling you, and if you're listening to me right now, please don't make God go to the lengths he had to go to with me to get me to rest, because some of you will feel it in your body. You'll feel the symptoms and you'll notice that you're a bit more sluggish. But others of you, like me, will write it off, or you'll push yourself harder. You'll get on the treadmill and you'll say, I'm going to work out more, or I'm going to do this diet, or... And that's just not the solution. You need to hear God and get a plan for you.
The truth is, many people kind of go in and out of stage one and stage two of adrenal fatigue, and you don't even know it. And I really believe this is why so often God doesn't heal us instantly in these cases, because we have to relearn some new practices that will help sustain our health. We're going to talk more about diet and just our thought life and just what we expose ourselves to. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith, more great conversation when we come back. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Laura Harris-Smith today about her book, The 30-Day Faith Detox, Renew Your Mind, Cleanse Your Body, Heal Your Spirit. We're actually getting into Laura's backstory. We're going to get into this detox idea here in just a couple minutes, but I feel like this backstory about her battle with adrenal fatigue, which many of you know is also something I'm coming out of myself, and it's serious. It's a significant thing. If you ignore it, I mean, all kinds of things will go haywire in your body, and as we were saying before the break, many people kind of venture in and out of stages one and two. And Laura, when we're in that fight flight and we're in the high stress, whether we're just never slowing down, don't have any kind of rhythm, it's taxing on the system. And God could heal us instantly, but I think sometimes he doesn't, is because we still have the same habits. We'll get ourselves back into the same mess again. So how did you change how you show up for life? How did you change your life rhythm, I should say, after all of this?
Yeah, well, basically, and let me just say this first, because I keep forgetting to say it and it will fascinate you. Another name for this is Addison's disease. That's what conventional medicine calls it. And I found out in all of my research that JFK had it so badly that they say that had he not been assassinated, he would have been dead in a year anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Can you believe that?
And maybe before, say this, if you would, give a few symptoms, because you have more mental fortitude than you had physical strength. So you probably are, you know, not a classic example, but that wired, tired feeling. People could have neurological issues. Name a few other things that would maybe be indicators that you need to pull back and establish a different kind of rhythm.
Yeah, well, really, like I said, for me, it was that I would get tired more easily. So I noticed it at these times. Now, keep in mind, I'm a writer, so I'm sedentary a lot. So I wouldn't notice it until I started to do a lot of activity, like bounding up atop of stairs, or, you know, like I said, during that third worship song. And when I was at my worst, I could only stand up for one worship song. Now, I'm a worshiper, so, you know, I like worship, and we have a full band, and so I'm clapping, and I'm pretty active, but I'm talking about, like, I could stand up and clap, and then I would have to sit down and drink a lot of water. No dancing, no nothing, just standing at the toughest part. I remember being at church one morning, and I was trying to stay strong. I was on the front row, you know, and I knew everybody was worried about me, and I stood up. And then I had to sit back down, and I would guzzle water. And then we left the church, and I got to the top of the stairs just outside of our church. And I was out of breath, and I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, this is really serious. And then the worst part, or I guess let's be positive about this. The best thing that I learned to do in this was to ask for help. You know, I was at my daughter's homeschool co-op shortly after this, and I was teaching a class, and I got very faint during it. Now, I had been diagnosed a week before, you know, when I had not been diagnosed, I would have just trudged through. I would have just, you know, maybe taken a seat, but continued to teach. Now, I gave myself permission to say, you know what, I need to get a sub in here, and I need to go home. And I sent one of the students, and they called another mom, and I left. I mean, I had to have somebody come get me. I wouldn't even drive home. But so the number one thing I learned is just take care of yourself. It's okay to say, hey, I need a break, you know. And as I said, I cashed in all of my chips. What I think is really interesting for people like me who have a hard time cashing in your chips and allowing people to take care of you, what I saw happen was so beautiful as people began to really give back to me what I'd sown into them for years. I'm always the one who rallies meals. I was always, as a young pastor's wife, the one who would take care of and give the baby showers and and I've done that for decades, even before pastoring. And so suddenly I had a community of people taking care of me. And I, you know, a sweet friend of mine, Faye Wallace, who was the one that organized this, came to me and said, no, I know you're eating organic now and you're eating differently. And so tell me what to ask the people to bring. And I said, oh, no, it's too difficult. I thought it was too difficult at the time. It's too difficult. If you'll just have them feed my family, I'll take care of me. And she said, Pastor Laura, if you're going to have to eat this way, we're all going to have to eat this way. And so as a result, my entire church has gone through a major nutritional transformation.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would, for this whole summer, they would come in and they would bring food and they would check on how I was. But then they would say, oh, my goodness, guess what? I've lost 8 pounds just by shopping in produce instead of in the middle of the store where all the dead food is, you know, and just little by little. And I knew then, Susie, sitting there and witnessing all of this, that my next book was going, I thought, this is Jehovah Sneaky. I know it is. He is going to make me write about all of this. And that is really where the 30-day faith detox came from.
It's fantastic.
And so that's why, you know, the whole thing is, I tell the story of the healing and my recovery in seeing the voice of God, because I wrote wrote on bed rest, but it was what I learned about vegetables and why they're color coded and which color helps which organ and all of that, that I really had to learn to survive. Food was, you know, my medicine, and my body couldn't have taken tons of medications to get better. You couldn't just go in and take a medicine for your liver and a medicine for it would have just overtaxed my already tired body. So we had to let food be medicine and some supplements as I was strong enough to, you know, ingest them. And they said, if you live, it will take 18 to 24 months to turn all of your organs around. And Susie, in 6 months, with rest and with obedience to what God said to do, with being in His Word, with allowing myself to be human and not get in people's, you know, catching shrapnel from their rapid gunfire, the stresses of ministry and all of mm-hmm. that I love. It took only 6 months to recover. You know, and yes, there were months after that where I was still trying to baby my organs and get them back up to par. But I'm saying that my nutritionist looked at me after 6 months and she said, "Boy, this is a miracle." She said, "Nobody ever recovers this quickly." And so with all I learned, and once I got back up on my feet, I knew I was going to be writing about this. I was in another contract with Chosen Books, and I felt like I owed it to my readers to really educate myself about this. So through distance learning, I became a nutritional consultant or a certified nutritional counselor, and really just it opened up a whole new world for me in the body, mind, and spirit ministry. So that's what I'm doing now full time, is helping people get healthy and be whole, which is the body, mind, and spirit message.
What's so amazing about this 30-day detox is you focus on these different areas, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I think it's so, so clever where you're looking at social toxins, relationship toxins, and when you're looking at cleansing maybe the palate and the esophagus, you're also asking on a spiritual level, consider what's coming out of your mouth, not only what you're putting in your mouth. Before you give some examples on that, talk about some of the supplements that actually helped you recover, Laura. How did you know what you were missing and what helped you?
Well, I think even when I responded to you, you reached out to me on social media and we were trying to connect, you know, concerning your diagnosis, mine. Everyone's is so different.
Yeah,
and I think I told you that the supplements can be so different. Now, you can have, like there are different multivitamins, there are also different supplements for the same organ. And so I remember one day I posted online a picture of all my bottles, and it was on the other side of, you know, my recovery. And I was like, this is what I was doing this time last year. And my nutritionist found out about it, and she said, "I really want to caution you from just showing people the bottles of the supplements you were using, because that's not what's going to work for somebody else."
Isn't that interesting?
Somebody else might have a great liver, but bad adrenals. I had both. Both were bad. And, you know, I don't drink. I don't have, like, I could not figure out how on earth my liver got so bad. But again, my body was just deteriorating on the inside. So, you know, what I would suggest is go to a master nutritionist. Mine, actually, her degree is in science. And so she was very scientific with her approach to my recovery, and get somebody who can baby step you through that process.
Very good. Okay, so let's talk about, if we can, rather than walking through each of the 30 days, so to speak, talk about like the issue of inflammation. And you say most people with, maybe all people with chronic illness have inflammation. They're in a constant state of inflammation, which is extremely taxing on the body. What are some foods that contribute to inflammation?
Well, it's going to be, again, it's going to be different for every person. What I had to do was I had to be tested by my nutritionist, and she tested to find out what the foods were that inflamed my body. I had no clue that there were such things called histamine foods, foods that really are like, we would say they're an allergy, and yet I used to reject that term because I was like, I don't have any food allergies. And so she did some testing on me. It was a visit that took like 5 hours, but she did the testing and revealed that there were certain foods that I was eating that were really taxing my body. Today's wheat is not our grandma's wheat, or especially not the wheat Jesus talked about. It is loaded down with 10 times more gluten for the crop to get bigger and go to market quicker and make more money. And so that 10 times more gluten in the head of that wheat, our bodies were not intended or created to digest that. It's like a rubber tire. I mean, it just was not created to do that. So what happens is it sits on the gut, it rots, you wind up with wheat belly and all other sorts of things. So as I was trying to recover, and to answer your question, my nutritionist said to me, these are the foods that are hard on your body, and you need to give your body nothing else to do right now but heal. So she identified that for me as being wheat and sugar. And, you know, this wasn't a matter of, for me, the big temptation is not, oh, I can't have a donut anymore. To me, the temptation is and probably will always be, go to bed, Laura. Go to bed and rest. So I thought, okay, wheat and sugar, I can do this. I can do this, and I have to learn to, I can have everything I used to have. I just make it with almond flour or rice flour. There's 19 other grains out there besides wheat. Just pick one, you know. And then my sugar substitutes like stevia and xylitol and these natural ones. So the main thing is if there are foods that are inflaming your body, they may not be the ones that inflame mine, but you've got to find out what yours are. And I want to tell you, the biggest surprise out of all of this was once I got the histamine foods away from me, I noted that after a almost 50-year allergy to horrible allergies to cats and dogs, I was suddenly in people's homes with their cats and dogs. I mean, spending the night and you know, and no reactions. Typically, it would take me like 30 minutes, and I started having a major reaction. I used to have to go to the hospital. I'd break out in hives. And I started thinking, what in the world's going on? Like, has God healed me? And then I made the connection. When you get rid of histamine, what is it you take when you have an allergic reaction? An antihistamine. And so my body no longer had to fight off foods I was eating every day. And it could now spend its energy on if there was a cat allergen or something. And, you know, God made all these allergens. We're supposed to all live together. And so all of a sudden my body had the strength to deal with the cat allergen or the dog allergen, and I don't have allergies anymore.
Amazing.
You know, so it is. It's all connected.
We have Dr. Troy on the show once a month for what we call Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. He's a functional medicine doctor, and he treated a family member of mine who's been had multiple meds for anxiety issues, and he tested her, and though her stomach never bothers her when she eats, she tested for some food allergies, and they were things that were inflaming her, and he said when that happens, your muscles, and I might, if I'm saying this wrong, it's because I'm translating wrong, but basically, her, she wasn't using the muscle in her legs because of the strain on her gut, and so her adrenal glands were firing to make up and compensate for the lack of muscle engagement, which felt like anxiety, which then was being treated as anxiety. And it's just
so true.
It's amazing how we if we just treat the symptoms, we may miss the root cause. So when we come back, I want you to unpack for us the gut-brain link and the faith food link and what you're hoping folks will experience when they get through this 30-day faith detox. I've seen reviews. People are, they don't even intend to do this to lose weight, but they lose all kinds of weight. They get
lose
energy.
Lots of weight, yeah.
Yes, lots of good stuff coming out of this. Don't go away. More with Laura Harris Smith in a minute. So don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God, you know that anything's possible. So step into the fight. He's right there by your side. The stones inside your head might be small, but watch the giants. Well, I sure hope you're having a great day. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Laura Harris Smith about her book, The 30-Day Faith Detox. Renew your mind, cleanse your body, heal your spirit. And you think about it, we go into this new year, we have all these New Year's resolutions, we're at the end of January now, and don't you want to be able to look back at the end of this year and say, some things substantially changed in my life? And we got to look at, maybe as Laura was saying at the beginning of the show, you expose yourself to certain toxins that are just put your gut in a knot. Maybe it's the kind of movies you watch, or toxic people, or crud that you're eating that you just know is bad for you. And this is not about legalism. This is about stewardship so that you can really show up, last long, and finish strong. And so, Laura, if you would, make the gut-brain connection that you write about in the book.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, most people know there's a link between their stomach and their thoughts because they've had what they call gut reactions or gut feelings, or they get butterflies in their stomach, you know, a nervous stomach. You know that the two are linked because, let's say you're having stage fright. What's the first thing you, a lot of times people say they want to do is they want to throw up, or they're going to get nauseous, or, but it's in your mind, right? And so, Harvard University basically did a study, Harvard Medical Center, and they have stated that the brain and the GI system are so intimately connected that they should be viewed as one system. Now, that's fascinating because you know, you have to consider this question. Is it possible that your thoughts can affect your faith? Because if so, then we have to take it to the next step and make the case that your food affects your faith. Because basically, you know, it just came down to science is confirming the intimate link between the stomach and the brain. And so, you know, surely what goes into the stomach, food and drink, can affect what goes on in the brain and the personality. So that means that what you eat affects what you think. And what you think affects what you eat. So simply put, you know, your food impacts your thoughts. So that's why we're saying if your food can affect your thoughts and your thoughts affect your faith, which scripture definitely says it does, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, then, you know, your food could be affecting your faith. I call it spiritual food poisoning. You could be chemically and dietarily propelling yourself towards doubt every single day. And because we're whole, you know, you can't segregate what God instituted in the Garden of Eden. He said, let us make man in our image. He's the Trinity. He has three parts. He made you in three parts. He's the three in one. You're a little Trinity. You're the three in one. You have three parts in one. And so it's when we start to segregate those and treat them individually that we're, you know, we're going to become ill, or if we're already ill, not get better. So basically what I do in the book is I began to notice that there were these universal things that stressed people out. I call them faith toxins. Sometimes it's a bad relationship. You know, sometimes it's a health issue. But as a pastor, I began to notice that when people came to the altar at Eastgate, where we pastor in Nashville, I noticed that their prayer requests fell into one of five categories. And that is either your health, like I said, or your relationships, your finances, your social influences, things going on in the world around you, or your purpose and identity, what does my future look like? And so I thought, man, if we could do like a 30-day platform, a 30-day like life detox, and divide it into those five categories and spend 6 days on your relationships, 6 days, you know, detoxifying your health issues, your thoughts about your future, your finances, all of that. And then each day do a little something for your body, a little something for your mind, and a little something for your spirit, devotionals with the Word of God, prayers for healing from emotional Goliaths like bitterness and doubt and grief and those type things. And then, yes, a really pure, healthy diet that through my nutritional training, I learned how to detox every organ in the body. And so as a result, by the end of the 30-day faith detox, you will have completed a total body detox. We detox all 15 major body systems during the 30 days. And I remember when I first had the idea, I called my nutritionist and said, is this safe? I don't know of any other book that does this, you know, and I believe that I can walk people through it. And she said, absolutely. It's important the order in which you do it. So we start with the digestive tract. That's where 70% of your immune system is. So if your gut is not healthy, then it's going to have your body, the rest of your body is going to have a harder time getting healthy. So we do it in such an order that on each of the 30 days, you have, you know, activities for your body, for your mind, for your spirit. It's not a full-time job. You know, people who work full-time are doing this. And yes, like you said, they are. To my surprise, I did not write it to be a weight loss book, but people are losing weight. One man that I interviewed here in Tennessee lost 49 pounds. Now, he had it to lose, but I think the most shocking ones to me are the people who take off 25 pounds and keep it off, or like our mutual friend, Sean Tabbitt, he took off 22 pounds, I think it was, and then went on to take off 25 more, and now a year later, he is over the 50-pound mark, and it's staying off, is my point. So he just eats in the 30-day faith detox lifestyle, he calls it, and that's basically the way I've been eating for 4 years, which is just eating cleanly, eating colorfully. And when I say that, I have to remind my husband that's not Skittles and M&M's. That is... You know, that is the colors of the rainbow in the foods that God gave us.
Do you ever have, I mean, because sugar is probably not the best for you, do you ever have something like almond ice, you know, an ice cream dessert like that that's healthy that way, or do you just all the way stay away from it?
Yeah, I was never a huge sweets person before. It was only when I, quote unquote, gave that up, that I started wanting it all the time. It was the weirdest thing. And it's something about I couldn't have it. Now I wanted it. I still haven't figured that out. But what I had to do was I had to just realize that I'm worth, just like I'm worth, you know, detoxifying my life from negative people who are constantly speaking death over me, or, you know, those type people, those types that you just can't seem to ever help, and they only drag you down. Hmm. Just like I could, that was easy, okay. But a topic like one of the foods, or just maybe your sugar or something like that, the reason it's a little more difficult is because you have to make that switch in your mind and go, okay, I'm used to a microwave society where I open up the package and it's done for me. And I'm going to have to now, just like I did with my relationships and my physical activities, I'm going to have to invest more time in my preparation for my food. And so one of the things we did was we got rid of our microwave. We had two at the time. And at one point I had three. I hated to cook. I still don't like the kitchen. I mean, only because I've learned how creative this whole process is. I really enjoy cooking more, but I don't want to live in the kitchen. And, you know, as a result, the recipes in the book are very, very easy, because I wanted to pass that along, you know, being able to do something, do it right, eat cleanly, eat healthily, have the alternatives in there. What do you eat besides sugar? You know, and then yes, if there's a dessert that I want and I see a recipe somewhere, I just substitute it with a different flour, and a different sugar. And sometimes my husband brings me flowers. He'll bring me almond flour and then a little bit of sorghum flour and some brown rice flour. And
he knows the key to your
heart. Hate, like I said, I don't like to bake, but no, I'm not saying it's going to be hard. You're going to have to bake all your own things now. Mm. This subculture has now made its way to every grocery shelf in America. Okay. So it's out there. The competition is growing. The prices are coming down for gluten-free foods and for sugar-free foods. And I don't mean artificial sugar. I mean the good stuff, made, you know, remade with the good stuff, like stevia. And so it's out there, and it's not as hard as it used to be. What I try to teach people to do is stay out of shopping from the center of the store, period. Hmm. Shop around the peripheral where the plugs are, because the food is living and has to be plugged in, refrigerated to live. Eat from your refrigerator and your fruit bowl. Don't walk into your kitchen and immediately go to the pantry. You know, that was the toughest thing for one of my sons, my teenage son, was that he would always walk into our kitchen and turn left to the pantry instead of to the right. And I remember the day I was watching him, he walked in, he turned right, and he went to the refrigerator to get some of the vegetables.
Accomplishment.
Wow. The highest.
We've run out of time, Laura. So sorry, and I want you to come back so we can even dig into the tangibles of the detox. But because I'm watching my clock here, I'm just going to pray a blessing of closing, and we'll be here.
Let's do it.
Wrap it. Father, I thank you for Laura, for her story and the way she stewarded this story. And I pray for all of us, God, give us the want to steward our health, mind, body, and spirit, so we truly can last long and finish strong. And start with us just today. Whatever tweaks we need to make, help us to do that. And you never call us to something you won't help us to do. So I just thank you by faith that you intend to, Lord. I thank you for the time. Thank you for our dear listeners. Just love them so much. And we bless your name. Amen. Laura, do come back and let's dig into the nitty gritty of this thing. All right.
Let's do it. Thank you, Susie.
Always good to talk with you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.